How you doing? You roll your window down for me?
What?
Roll your window down for me a little bit further, okay? Just a little bit further. Can you roll your window down for me? Where are you coming from? Still live in Raleigh? Have a good night, sir.
See that? He asked me questions. He asked me to roll your window down. You didn't have to do none of that. Just license, registration, be on your way. Stay safe, guys.
When you are enforcing statutes and codes, you are not enforcing law. Law in these United States of America refers to the common law. Due process of law is process according to the law of the land. Due process of law in the latter, the fifth article of amendment to the Constitution, refers to that law of the land which derives its authority from the legislative powers conferred upon Congress by the Constitution of the United States, exercised within the limits therein prescribed and interpreted according to the principles of the common law. Mr. Justice Matthews, delivering the opinion of the court in Hurtado v. California, 110 U.S. 516, 3 sub CT, 111, 292, 28 L. Ed. 232, 1884, as was upheld in Ex parte Kearney, 55 Calvin, 212, and Smith v. Andrews, 6 Cal. 652. Any court that uses statutes is considered an inferior court. Inferior courts are those whose jurisdiction is limited and special, and whose proceedings are not according to the course of the common law. Since we are guaranteed a republican form of government in the United States of America, all government agents are required to obtain the consent of the governed. That means you are required to get the consent of each and every single people. Statutes are merely corporate policy for the corporation for whom you work. The people of this state, as the successors of its former sovereign, are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative. So if you arrest someone for driving under the influence when he informs you he does not consent, the first felony that you are guilty of is kidnapping, because you do not have the authority to detain a people, because people are in fact sovereign. In our country, the people are sovereign, and the government cannot sever its relationship to the people by taking away their citizenship. Our Constitution governs us, and we must never forget that our Constitution limits the government to those powers specifically granted or those that are necessary and proper to carry out the specifically granted ones. As noted in Afroyim v. Rusk, sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to law, for it is the author and source of law. But in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts. And from Yickwo v. Hopkins, we remember that these principles have long been recognized. But be that as it may, there is no such thing as a power of inherent sovereignty in the government of the United States. It is a government of delegated powers, supreme within its prescribed sphere, but powerless outside of it. In this country, sovereignty resides in the people, and Congress can exercise no power which they have not, by their Constitution, entrusted to it. All else is withheld, as stated in the legal tender cases. At the Revolution, the sovereignty devolved on the people, and they are truly the sovereigns of the country. But they are sovereigns without subjects, with none to govern but themselves, as per Chisholm v. Georgia. The people of this state, as the successors of its former sovereign, are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative, according to Lansing v. Smith. Now read that last quote. Do you, as a police officer, believe you could give the king a speeding citation or arrest him for driving under the influence? Of course not. So, how does this become treason? The Constitution for the United States of America guarantees us the common law, as we see in the Hurtado v. California case above. It also guarantees a republican form of government in Article 4, Section 4. So, when you arrest someone for driving under the influence and he has caused no injury and he has not consented to your jurisdiction, you are warring against the Constitution. That is treason. Treason is a capital offense. The worst enemy to the United States of America are Americans serving as public servants who war against the Constitution and try to find ways to punish the people who are their superiors. The people are sovereign, and public servants who attempt to use the terminology of sovereign citizen against the people for demanding the protection of their sovereignty are also guilty of warring against the Constitution. There is no such thing as a sovereign citizen. There is a very large movement of people in these United States that has been working towards returning our government to within its bounds. We now have superior court judges, continental United States marshals, and common law grand jury administrators who will administer the grand juries. We are very close to having the arrest of the first judge and police officer ordered by a grand jury. The charges for the judge will include perjury, conspiracy against rights, 18 U.S.C. 241, and deprivation of rights under color of law, 18 U.S.C. 242, seditious contempt of Constitution, and the most egregious offense, treason. The police officer's charges will most likely include all but the perjury charge. The perjury charge the judges are guilty of is submitting a document to the jury to inform the jury that the defendant in this case has pleaded not guilty, when in fact the accused objected to the code and jurisdiction. Of course, the police officer could also be charged for perjury if he is the one who does as one in Texas did by claiming that the state of Texas was a victim because the people had cocaine. Exactly how was Texas injured? This is obviously a ruse to fool the people because under common law, for a crime to exist, there must be an injured party. Sherrar v. Cullen, 481 F2D 945. So when a police officer claims the state of Texas was injured, that is also a false statement constituting perjury.
Courts are not the government and have no lawful authority over you. We want to say thank you for helping to restore the constitutional republic one county at a time. Why are courts not the government and why do the courts have no lawful authority over you? Because they are for-profit corporations and must have a corporate charter that must comply with the Constitution. According to United States v. Salerno, 481 U.S. 739, 1987, quote, a challenge to a law can argue that a statute is unconstitutional, facially, or as applied. A statute is facially unconstitutional when no set of circumstances exists under which the act would be valid, unquote. Constitutional law refers to rights carved out in the federal and state constitutions. The majority of this body of law has developed from state and federal Supreme Court rulings, which interpret their respective constitutions and ensure that the laws passed by the legislature do not violate constitutional limits. In order to win a Child Protective Services case, we have the following remedies available to you. Important notice. You never want to give your unqualified signature in the public because it is going to be construed as the straw man. See rule of signatures that we can provide you upon request at form.jotform.com/72 19634639 4162. Step 1 is to create an affidavit of status and then record it in the public record. Then create a list of the court officials and CPS agents, including title, name, and work address. Then send to that list of officials Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, requests Get FOIA requests for your state from bonds4thewin.com. Send those FOIA requests to all government officials and CPS actors via certified return receipt mail. Insert each unique 20-digit certified mail number inside each letter. We can provide you with sample letters. Contact us for the link to the Child Protective Services notice and all other forms and instructions at our jotform.com link. The next step is to file a complaint and apply for a writ of quo warranto. Quo warranto is Latin for by what warrant or authority. A writ of quo warranto is a common law remedy which is used to challenge a person's right to hold a public or corporate office. A state may also use a quo warranto action to revoke a corporation's charter. In our Child Protective Services cases, we serve in person the Supreme Court and the Attorney General to get a declaratory judgment and or testify to the lawful enactment and constitutionality of the statutes with which you are being charged. When you are charged with any violation of public policy, aka code, the first thing to do is order to show cause. The maxims of law are always true, such as he who does not deny admits, or an unrebutted affidavit stands as truth. And the system of justice is built around honor and dishonor. When you receive a presentment, which is a document or instrument making a claim on you, such as CPS wants your children, or you violated a penal code or vehicle code, you would be in dishonor if you fail to answer it and will receive a default judgment. If you fail to show up at court, it is a default judgment. So don't be in dishonor and question the charge or debt owed. In the simplest form, it would be making a photocopy of the original presentment, traffic ticket, court summons, notice of default foreclosure, and writing in red pen diagonally across it, refused for cause per UCC 1, 308, then qualify your signature by putting without prejudice. This retains all your rights, and without it, you lose your rights. Then write, by authorized representative, to the left of your signature, and then your signature. Study the rule of signatures thoroughly. If your all-capital-lettered name is on the presentment, that is John H. Doe, then that is an ENS legis, legal fiction and not a living soul, and you are the authorized representative of that corporate fiction. See UCC 3. 4021 showing the authorized representative is not liable for the party signed on behalf of, that is John D.O. Get a friend, neighbor, or anyone not a party to the case, that is not named or someone who will be called as a witness, to fill out a proof of service by mail, and put your response in the letter and mail it back first class if it isn't that important certified mail, and include the certified mail hash in the proof of service, if it is more important. If it is very important and will be the best form of evidence at a court case, get a green signature receipt card to go with the certified mail for $3.50 plus $2 for the green card, as this will be allowed as evidence. The We Shall Be Free tour will begin once the case is docketed. However, the clerk of court at the U.S. Supreme Court is refusing to docket. This is obstruction of justice and a crime. The people in the U.S. need to hear the truth and understand that these are rights that are guaranteed. And the moment you take a right from one, you take it from all, and no longer a freedom, but only an illusion of freedom. Do thorough research on the following cases and information. Nancy Schaefer's speech on CPS corruption. By the way, Nancy and her husband were subsequently murdered under mysterious circumstances. Bonnie Strait on corrupt judges, suing corrupt courts and failure to train remedy. 8 U.S. Code Section 242, Deprivation of Rights Under Color of Law. How Police Officers Commit Treason. There is a video about that on this channel. The judge is trustee in the corrupt courts. On December 1, 1990, Congress materially altered the oath of the justices and judges of the United States by way of amendment, so as to relieve them of any duty of faithfulness to obligations, duties, or observances to administer justice under the Constitution and laws of the United States. For all the details, go here, where you will be sent to our sister site, noauthoritycourts.com, Judge's Oath, Change Cases Void, HTML.
So please put the camera down now, or I'll have my court officer confiscate it.
Your Honor, why are you yelling at me? The Supreme Court clearly states I can do that. Your own doorway says I could do that. You're doing it to me, and I checked with your clerk. And I'm also going to wonder what made you run out of the courtroom like that today. You were in such a haste.
Your Honor, I believe the court has before it a motion for Mr. Ingres.
I do. State versus John Ingres.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Ingres, would you come forward, sir, and join
us? Are you saying that the trust you are administering is the John Ingres Trust?
Mr. Ingres, if you'd come up, sir, and stand beside Attorney David Al.
John Ingres is in the court. That's you, judge as trustee. You are John Ingres today, aren't you?
Attorney David Al.
Yes, sir.
Before we go any further, I need to know who you are.
Clerk? I am Judge Crocker, right here.
Thank you, clerk. Are you the CQV trustee who has appointed this judge as administrator and trustee of the Constructive Trust case number 458-2010-CR-01203?
Mr. Attorney David Al, your motion for competency evaluation is granted, and we will ensure that before Mr. David Al, before Attorney Ingres is back before the court, that we're sure that he understands the workings of the court.
Clerk, did you also appoint the prosecutor as executor of this constructive trust?
Mr. Ingres.
You are the
trustee. Mr. Ingres.
And are you not the executor?
Mr. Ingres.
I'm the beneficiary.
Well.
And I authorize you to handle the accounting and dissolve this constructive trust.
Mr. Ingres,
I now claim my body.
Mr. Ingres,
I am collapsing the CQV trust.
Okay, we will take a brief
which you have charged.
Time we will resume with
as there is no value in the trust.
Right.
You have committed fraud on the court. Did you not create controversy?
Can you talk here?
Well, Mr. Ingres is personal to your case. I don't think you want to do that in public.
I'd like to bring a court reporter.
Mr. Ingres, I just want to let you know that the court is ordering you to speak to a state psychiatrist before this case goes
I don't consent.
Further. I'm afraid it's a court order.
I'm afraid I don't consent to the court order.
There are consequences when you don't consent to a court order.
There are consequences when a higher law is violated by pretend authorities.
Mr. Harris, I'm sorry that you feel that way. Probably not best to have this conversation at this moment.
Would there
feel
be
free to make an appointment to talk to me at my office.
You might think you know the history of the Revolutionary War, but here is something they will not teach you in U.S. Corp Department of Education schools. The Revolutionary War was a fraud. The United States did not actually declare independence from Great Britain or the King. America is a British colony. The King of England financed both sides of the Revolutionary War. The gold fringe on the U.S. flag in courtrooms symbolizes America being ruled by Great Britain under international maritime admiralty law. There are no judicial courts in America, and there have not been any courts or judges since 1789. The most powerful court in America is the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. If you are of legal age and retain legal counsel in your defense, you are automatically assumed by the court to be a mentally incompetent ward of the court and can therefore be remanded indefinitely to any mental institution of the court's choosing. You cannot use the U.S. Constitution to defend yourself. The people does not include you and me. You own no property. We are slaves and own absolutely nothing, not even what we think are our children. Military dictator George Washington divided the state's estates into districts based upon the ritualistic practice of dissecting Masonic squares. Washington, D.C. was surveyed and engineered according to Masonic ritual and specification. Before 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, the Boston Tea Party was the first false flag. Now you have been informed of one of the great lies of your time. This is why it is important for everyone to help restore the Constitutional Republic, which you can do by sharing these videos with everyone that you can.